Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. And yes, I'm on shift again. So I'm streaming to you from the Bowen Basin mining region once again this week. Many women I talk to have a main goal of a career change-up and increase in their earning potential. And it's true. Many jobs, even entry-level mining and resource industry jobs, can pay really well. And I mean really well. Mining is still a highly paid industry where you're potentially able to double or even triple your now annual yearly salary. And this is a fiercely competitive industry for job searching, and women need a winning edge to score an entry-level mining job. At the moment, with competition heating up, the reality is there is no easy way to get into the mines. The mining industry can be a tough nut to crack. However, once you're in, the rewards are sweet. Landing an entry-level job can be a tough gig, and women are no longer automatically delegated to the jobs such as administration, cooking and cleaning. Now, don't get me wrong, although these are still great career options, if you want a mining job that offers excellent pay and generous time off, women are now encouraged to do more of the typical industry-related jobs such as haul truck and water cart driving, dozer, excavator, loader and grader operating, shot firers, drillers, drillers assistants, trades assistants and labourers. So if you're looking for an entry-level job in the mines but don't know where to start, let me give you a guiding hand. Mining jobs for women such as labourers, the drillers assistants and drillers, trades assistants, they can be physically taxing but are a good option if you are fit and come from a labouring background. Then you've got a sample preparer, field assistants and driving positions, which are often more appealing to the women. And in fact, some employers prefer women to drive and operate the machines as they find the women have a better safety record. Now, if you're looking for work in the mining industry, then you will want as much information as you can muster to get your boots in the gate. And it seems the mining industry is bubbling along quite nicely. And as such, you think it would be easy to land an entry-level job, right? Mm-mm. This is far from the truth in most cases. You are listening to Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in very male-dominated industries. And I tell you how it is. Today is episode 35, A Career in Mining. And I'm going to reveal the first steps you should take to prepare yourself for the tough road ahead of breaking into a new industry and feeling confident when applying for any level, entry-level job. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. And a huge shout out to all the women working out on track and on site today all over the globe. Stay safe and have a fantastic day or night shift. And this might also be a good time for a trigger warning that today's show may contain some adult language. Let's get into it. Okay. Now, the most common scenario for women working on, or the most common scenario I hear is women want to work on a mine site but have no idea where to start looking, training and preparing themselves. Mining companies are becoming increasingly hard-nosed about who they let walk through the gate. Gone are the days where you can just turn up on site and earn a six-figure income. In some cases, if you want a job in the mining industry, you need to have completed the right courses even before you can set foot on a mine site. Now, the mining industry is heavily regulated with safety compliance and competency guidelines that feature in everyday activities. no matter where you are in your career or what qualifications you have, just by having a mining qualification can give you a winning edge. As a complete novice, completing a basic two-day mining induction course or the Standard 11 induction is a must-have safety qualification and is a big step in the right direction if you want to set foot on a mine site in Queensland, that is. Other states may not be as strict as Queensland in terms of workplace health and safety, but it pays to have the knowledge to make sure you and your fellow co-workers are kept safe. Mining qualifications are extensive, and depending on what mining jobs you're after, your training can pave the way forward to a most successful, financially rewarding, and brilliant career. Now, even in saying this, mining companies are seeking much more. Forget the niceties. We know all too well. It's the money that drives your job search and chasing this once-in-a-century resource opportunity. When you have the opportunity to earn big coin, it could change your life forever. And this is why so many people look to the mining industry as a solution. Now, it's not just about the financial reward. Yes, like I did say for some, it is the lure of great wages. But for others, it's about self-accomplishment and the wanting to expand their innate skills and field of expertise. However, the mining companies of today are seeking switched-on people with the right training and the right attitude to place into entry-level mining jobs. Mining in Australia is a particularly technical and skilled industry. It's highly safety-focused with extensive and diverse opportunities, and as such, there's no one-size-fits-all approach to landing a job with no experience. So let's talk about some of the main challenges for entry-level job seekers. Although many people don't like spending money on mining qualifications, and it can be quite daunting and fairly expensive, so it's important to choose carefully. And the reality is, your choice to participate in continual education is one of the surefire ways to earn more money. Now, there are such a broad range of training organisations out there. How do you know where to start to land yourself an entry-level job? A mining induction course, like I said earlier, the two-day basic one, gives you the necessary safety training skills mining employers are looking for. If you haven't completed one of these courses, then to be honest, your chances of getting a start in the industry are far slimmer than someone who has. Now, this course definitely speaks volumes to a potential employer. Some of the other qualifications you can gain are in a dump truck driving course. There's many mining machinery tickets on offer. Mining machinery combo courses, which in that one you can save big dollars doing that one. If you already have leadership skills and supervisory skills, you can do a mine site supervisor course. You can do a Cert 4 in occupational health and safety, just to name a few. So you need to ask yourself, am I willing to invest the time and money to train myself and equip myself with the right accreditation? And the best advice I'm going to offer you is for you to invest in the training yourself further. Let's say you invested $795 in a mining induction course. That's just ballpark. I think they could be a little bit more nowadays. You're sending a clear signal to potential employers that you're prepared to invest in your future and showing exactly how keen, willing and committed you are to succeed at a career in mining. Now, this is just a starting point. If you have done the right courses up front and being mine ready to step on site, it gives you a distinct advantage. And this truly is a first step to making your mining career a reality. And there are numerous certification options you can choose to elevate your chances of a start in the mining industry. Now, applying for a job when you have the right qualifications, it gives you a winning edge. You really have a tough road ahead of you as a newbie looking for entry-level jobs. However, ensuring you're qualified up front and have completed the right training for the role is crucial and clearly improves your chances of getting a boot in the gate, like I said. So the next step is the consideration of a coal board medical. Now, most companies request you do one through a GP, a medical examination. However, if you already have taken the initiative and completed a coal board medical at the time of applying for a job, it is truly viewed upon in a very positive light. Now, this type of test shows you are physically fit, you're drug-free, and you're ready to start work at short notice, which I'll point out makes you an easy and risk-free candidate. Now, these medical examinations are valid for 6 months. And if you rest assured, if you have completed a Cold Ward Medical, it will be viewed by prospective employers as an asset and as another tick in the box over your competition, who are often not ready to go at short notice. So guess what? If you're qualified, ticketed, and have done a Cold Ward Medical, you're ready to start, and you are making it extremely easy for employers to offer you a job. Now, another challenge is when you're asking, I've done all my mine-specific training, why haven't I landed myself a job on a mine site? Well, the thing is, the reputation of new starters is that they aren't prepared for remote or industry lifestyle that mining brings, or the demands of shift work and the long 12-hour days that are incurred. For mining companies, their biggest hesitation when recruiting for entry-level mining jobs is they need to be sure you're a good investment. Think about how much money it costs a company to recruit, the hours and research needed to interview and hire a person and pay for medicals, site and safety inductions, and initial on-site training. It can cost thousands of dollars. And in some cases, workers simply can't handle the heat of being away from home, their families, and mining may not be for them after all. So how do you combat this? I'm going to highlight a couple of solutions for you. So you're now asking, every time I apply for a job, it's already been filled. Many entry-level jobs are not advertised externally, and if they are, many have been filled already by current employees or recommendations. So just getting a boot in the gate can feel like winning the lotto. Many people who are completing their accreditation and paying out thousands of dollars in upskilling or attaining essential mining tickets, they feel frustrated after month upon month of rejection. Even if you have paid for your mining qualifications, the reality is no one is guaranteed a job in the industry. However, with these basic qualifications in hand, there are ways to give yourself a winning edge, which I'll reveal as we go on. Let's say all the entry-level mining jobs are insisting on experience. If you are a woman new to the industry and or you're changing careers completely, how do you get the experience or a start? Where do you begin looking for applying? Right now, mining companies and contractors can take their pick of the more experienced and skilled workers. And of course, they are choosing experienced workers for entry-level jobs. The competition to land a job is so fierce. If a worker has mine site experience, and even if it's unrelated to the advertised job, and they come highly recommended, they are a better investment for a company than, say, a completely new starter with no experience looking for the same job. However, if you're looking for a mining job with no experience, don't be put off. The fact is that previous experience in the mines is not always required in order to get your boots in the gate. There are many different ways for inexperienced women with the right mix of training, attitude, and determination to find mining jobs. You just have to know where to look and what steps to take. The industry is looking for more than just an employee with relevant tickets, as there are thousands of qualified people out there. So how do you make yourself stand out? Well, for women looking for entry-level jobs, your success can be all about your attitude. Recruiters in the mining industry are highly selective, and you can be certain your attitude will be analysed. Mining companies are looking for a quality investment in their staff, because training new employees is an expensive job, like I said. Tenacity, perseverance, and motivation are all traits that will make you stand out from the crowd. You will be leaps and bounds ahead of the pack by having a fantastic kick-ass attitude. That's my motto, remember? So with many of our HR recruiters out there, they usually reveal to me that they can instantly pick up on negativity or on people who are disgruntled with life or with the industry itself. If you're forward thinking, show enthusiasm, turn up well before your start time, don't get involved in negative conversation, are self-educating, positively charged, you will be setting yourself up to have a good start in the mining industry. And this positive attitude is reflected in everything you do, the way you dress, your body language, and the way you speak. And another big secret to your success is your understanding of emotional intelligence. Now, that may sound like a bit of a technological term or a soppy word maybe, but believe me, this is the key to a rich lifestyle. Google it if you don't believe me. First impressions count. Now, this old adage rings true to no end, especially when your first point of contact with a prospective employer is nowadays your electronic piece of paper with some words on it, your resume. Your resume is your marketing tool. You're promoting yourself with it, so make it count. And if your resume looks dull and boring, then you're not giving yourself the best shot at getting the job, right? And if you need some assistance with giving your resume a makeover, head over and take a listen to Kick-Ass Radio's episode on the four types of resumes that get a look in. And I'll give you some handy dandy tips and tricks to ensure you have a kick-ass resume on that episode. So when you're sending your resume to mining companies, keep track of your applications and be prepared to take incoming phone calls from phone numbers you don't recognise. And remember, it may not be a crank call from the ATO or someone selling your solar panels. When you answer the phone, always be professional and polite. There is nothing more frustrating to a prospective employer than a person with attitude at the other end of the phone. Use your people skills and be obliging. Ensure you answer all their questions enthusiastically and don't make the conversation difficult. This is a kind of a pre-interview and test for you, remember, so be ready to impress. So for instance, if the caller requests more information, let them know it will be with them in 30 minutes and make sure you do everything in your power to get them what they need ASAP. If they request to see you for an interview, this is your chance to really sell yourself. So don't blow this chance by making it hard to book a time for with you. And recruiters especially don't care about what fits in with you. If you want an entry-level mining job, you just have to make sure you can get to the interview, because you now have a shot at doubling or tripling your salary, changing your life, and a chance to get into the industry with little to no experience. My advice is bend over backwards to please them, because the major mining companies in Australia are always looking to employ, good worth ethic, good work ethic orientated and reliable women. There are many job openings to be found that you may not have even thought about. Okay, let's take a little break and listen to a tune, and I'll be back with you soon. Hi, I'm Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. As a woman working in industry, I want to share my knowledge and experience and industry know-how to support you if a change in your life is what you are looking for. Join me on my radio show, Kick-Ass Radio, every Friday morning at 10 a.m. across Australia or on Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. in the US. What are you waiting for? Go on, get your glow on. Okay, thanks for tuning back in. Now, what's out there in regards to opportunities? You need to do everything you can to put yourself at the front of the queue for any entry-level job. So here I'm going to tell you some of the most common opportunities for women seeking entry-level jobs after they've completed the appropriate mining training courses. So I'm suggesting you look out for the following positions. And first up, I suggest you look out for trades assistance or support service staff jobs, including the cleaners and or kitchen hand jobs. Starting on the ground floor, and this is very important, don't aim too high at the beginning. Networking with everybody and getting to know about the culture of working on the mines is the best way to break into entry-level mining jobs. Be determined to put yourself out there. You need to step out of your comfort zone and get to know everybody and anybody. It can open doors you never dreamed of. By meeting people, you get to understand the culture, the language, and the names of things. And that's a whole different episode right there. Terminology and acronyms. Lol. Think about it seriously, though, from an employer's perspective. If an employer has the choice between two employees, they would make a choice based on the following. The candidate moved to the mining town and familiarised themselves with the remote lifestyle and the safety culture, and is job ready with a mine site induction, a coal board medical, and they've got the relevant tickets. Who do you think they will offer the next mining job to? With the expense of training new staff, many who leave within a few short months because they're not cut out for it, who is the bigger gamble? Because the industry is fiercely competitive and more women are willing to go the extra mile to grab entry-level jobs, A complete newbie without any on-site mining experience or training is less likely to land one of those coveted jobs. So here are a few of the types of entry-level jobs and trainee positions you can do on a mine site and you can apply for. There's the housekeeping, store person, a cook, catering assistant or kitchen hand, handy person, cleaner, receptionist, the FIFO bus driver, security officer, trades assistant, workshop administrator, light machinery operator, labourer, dump truck driver, admin or office assistant, data entry operator, customer service officer, site clerk, accounts assistant, lab assistant, geology assistant, field assistant, HR assistant, and service administrator. The list is endless and there's limitless opportunities out there. Now, the mining pit, it's a collaborative working area that has become popular for women. Dump truck driving, water cart driving, they're typical roles considered to suit women whose steady approach tends to cause less wear and tear on machinery than their male counterparts. Now, that's been a proven point. The driving of the huge road trains is another mining job suited to women. It requires the women to drive semi-trucks with several trailers in tow, and they cover large distances, often requiring two drivers as a change-out. And an MC license is required for those kind of roles. Now, mining positions do not necessarily require specialised education or training to get the job. Often attitude and character are all you need. Because mining is a team-orientated domain, your communication skills and outlook on working in teams will go a long way. And the specific skills needed to stand out on your application. And some of the job requirements include strong work ethic, strong communication skills, a positive attitude, literacy, numeracy, and technology skills. Keep in mind, all of these things are key attributes which should shine through on your resume and in your application. So how do you use your civil training and experience? If you have manual labour or trade experience or relevant civil experience, this can also be a huge advantage and you need to register it to get RPL'd or recognise prior learning. For experienced machinery operators, there are many courses you can do to upgrade your machinery tickets to mining and they are referred to as black coal competency upgrades, R2 competencies. That recognise previous experience on the specific type of mining machinery. So also if you have experience driving heavy machinery in a civil environment, you can attain the credit towards the mining training courses by applying for, as I said, the recognised prior learning. And this can help you transfer your tickets from civil to mine qualifications and can shorten your study time in doing those conversions. So I recommend you do this before applying for any of these roles. What about rosters for entry-level mining jobs? Typically, rosters for entry-level mining jobs are 2 weeks on and 1 week off, or 7 days on, 7 days off. There's the lifestyle roster, 3 days on, two off, two on, three off, and so forth. Realistically, the ideal shift is a 3 week on and 3 week off type scenario. And this is seen as the creme de la creme for some, only for some though, as it gives them the bigger block of time off. If you can prove your worth, hang in there for a few stints and you will adapt and move up the pecking order. Most jobs in the mines are set in remote areas with mining accommodation provided. And often this is so different from your usual comfy home lifestyle that you're used to. And it can be challenging to adjust to. There's the long days, little sleep until you get your fatigue management under control. And the accommodation can be single or shared cabins, and they're usually set close to the mine site. So be prepared for close quarters and communal living. Living on site in the mines, you really get to know someone, warts and all. Most mine site facilities include rooms with your TV and your pay TV, a fridge, air conditioning, your internet, your ensuite shower and toilet and such. So let's talk about mining apprenticeships and mining traineeships, which are a fantastic way to gain entry-level jobs in the mines. Like any other type of apprenticeship, it provides a win-win situation where both you and the company are financially rewarded to train and learn. Many people are now looking for a supportive transitional role into the mining industry, or they're seeking on-the-job experience and mine site training and formalised study in the mines whilst being paid. Each year, major Australian companies gear up for another round of mining apprenticeships, typically between the months of August through to October. So remember, that's coming up. Landing yourself one of the mining apprenticeships is a great way to attain exceptional training, gain a recognised qualification and highly valued practical skills, all whilst enjoying the security of paid work. Adult apprenticeships are ideal if you're re-entering the workforce or simply if you want a change of career. An apprenticeship offers a backdrop to gain experience working in the mines whilst earning a nationally recognised qualification. And this will look good for any potential employee looking to recruit for their next stint of entry-level mining jobs. Most of these opportunities are offered directly through the company. So start checking out the websites of the big mining companies such as Rio Tinto, BH Billiton, Bechtel, Fortescue, BP, Thiess, Anglo Coal Australia, Manara Resources, Newmont Australia Limited, Xstrata Glencore, or go directly to Apprenticeships Australia. You can search via the seek.com.au website. And if you don't have specific technical skills or direct experience in the mining sector, an adult apprenticeship may be your best way to go. The National Apprenticeship Program, NAP, offers many opportunities to learn as you go. Their various apprenticeships can allow you to get the training you need in half the time it would ordinarily take. And most people coming into the mining and resource industry for the first time can take up to 18 months to get properly certified. Through the NAP, you can cross over some of the skills you already have and apply them to the certification training to speed up the process. This way, when you look for mining jobs, no experience in the field will not be a stumbling block as you'll have your apprenticeship to help you get a head start. And there are many support structures in place to help women gain employment in these industries, as mining is such a vital part of Australia's economic structure. The industry is one of the biggest and most productive in the country, and as such, it's constantly growing and seeking additional employees at every level. Okay, let's have a little chat about some kick-ass women making waves. So the Kick-Ass Women Making Waves segment is where we recognise extraordinary achievements and contributions women have made and continue to make in our unbalanced world. Each week, I shine a spotlight on one or a collective of these extraordinary women who are making a difference and that are inspiring role models. So this week, our Kick-Ass Women Making Waves spotlight is on Nicole Hollows. Nicole's the former CEO of MacArthur Coal Limited and the first female chair of Resource Industry Lobby Group, the Queensland Resources Council. Nicole is a regular lead speaker at Women in Mining networking events across Queensland due to her inspirational career in a traditionally male-dominated field. But this is rapidly changing, says Nicole. Not only that, but mining careers for women offer a lot of flexibility and support if you're willing to do the work. Nicole, who went from working as a tax accountant to CEO of one of the most successful coal mining operations in Australia in less than 7 years, is a poster child of what women can achieve in the field of mining, even with no experience, previous experience in mining. MacArthur Coal Limited was first listed on the ASX in 2001 at $128.5 million and by 2011 was taken over by Peabody Energy for $4.9 billion when Nicole was CEO. The diversity of the mining industry provides a huge job opportunity for women. Nicole also says there's opportunity for women working in almost any related field to move across to mining, such as she did from finance to coal mining. There are also a growing number of support networks for women employed in mining across Australia, such as WIMNET, Women New South Wales, and Women in Mining Queensland. They offer support and regular networking events, awards, and information for women either already working in mining or moving across from other disciplines. So perhaps the most positive message from Nicole around jobs for women in mining and for women thinking of moving into mining and resources sector is the flexibility it offers for those who are willing to work hard and do the job well. And Nicole also says that although mining has traditionally been a male-dominated industry, it has definitely changed and is still continuing to change. She said the emphasis should always be on getting the best person for the job, but that women need to be aware of the tendency to undersell their strengths. And since it's an industry which offers a solid career path and plentiful opportunities for growth for those women in mining or who look to seek for mining jobs in the future. Nicole was chief financial officer in 2007. When she went part-time, she had just become a new mother. When MacArthur Coal Limited was sold to Peabody in 2011, 21% of their workforce was female, and a great representation of those were women in senior management positions, making it one of Australia's most progressive mining companies in terms of gender equality. So if you're a woman looking to pursue a career in mining, why not inquire about how you could transfer your current skills to a role in the lucrative mining industry in Australia? So congratulations to Nicole. You are one hell of a kick-ass woman making waves. So there's a shout out to kick-ass women making waves, and it's all about recognising that our success and where we are in life is at least somewhat thanks to the efforts, support, mentorship, love and encouragement of others. So if there's someone that you want to dedicate a shout out to, let me know. Send me an email to Jody, J-O-D-Y, at kickasswomen.com.au. Okay, let's hear from one of the show's sponsors and we'll be back with you soon.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Okay, folks, thanks for joining back in. So let's go through or go over what we've talked about. I'm going to give you your checklist. So we're going to go through and tick off the things that you need to remember to get yourself up for that entry level position. So our mining jobs checklist. Now you need to use this checklist to keep track of what you have done and tick them off as you go. So first off, let's ensure you have researched the mining industry closely, and in particular, the large Australian mining companies who own the mines in areas you are targeting for entry-level mining jobs. And number two, visit the mining job boards on a regular basis and sign up for entry-level mining job alerts. So all the major companies have a careers section or tab on their websites. Go and register and set up job alerts for entry-level jobs, traineeships, apprenticeships and such. Number three is do your research on the mining and resources industry first. Number four, go to the top Australian mining company websites, as I said, and read all about what they do. Find out what those companies are about, their company values, their projected goals and projects that they've got going on, and get to know them and see if you're a good fit for them and they'll be a good fit for you. Number five is read in-depth information about the top mining companies on the Australian Stock Exchange. So as listed companies, you can learn everything about their financial position and their forecast for growth. You'll find a wealth of information about their mining operations, which is a great place to again build your knowledge. Number six, make sure your resume is up to date. It has no spelling mistakes and is targeted at the job being advertised that you're applying for. Number seven, grab my resume tips to help you be more successful with job applications. Number eight, prepare in advance for your interview. If you're nervous or need help preparing, then again, grab my tips and tricks cheat sheet on how to interview, and you'll do well for your mining job. Number nine is mining jobs require you to physically be fit and ready to start work. You will probably have to provide evidence you have passed a coal board medical examination. So once again, get in, book that and get it done. And remember, it's only valid for 6 months when you first get it done. Number 10 is your mining induction card valid? You can also take a mining induction refresher course if you need to. Mining induction certification is valid for 5 years in Queensland. Number 11 is look at what other mining, management, machinery skills training and workplace health and safety courses you can do to increase your job opportunities. Number 12 is read the popular articles on how to get into mining with no experience. There is a fair wealth of knowledge out there.
And the best knowledge to gain is from people in the know. Number 13 is there are two good courses you can do, like the Enter and Work in Confined Spaces and Work Safely at Heights. They are highly recommended by mining companies because safety awareness is a top priority. Number 14 is have a current first aid certificate, and that is advantageous. Number 15 is, did you know 80% of recruitment companies will check you out via social media? So get in and make sure your social media profile is cleaned up today. Okay, let's hear from one of the show's sponsors again, and we'll be back to wrap it up with our take five.
Hey, Glow Getters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book, High Heels to High Viz, and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, so your take five tips for women wanting to succeed in mining. Number one is build your support network. The mining industry is so vast. So creating supportive alliances assists you not only in your current role, but preserving that network will support you well into your future. Having advice and counsel networks within your current workplace helps you to exercise sound judgment and maintain perspective. And it's wise to commit the extra time to attend external networking forums and to seek out similar women in your company to build a support structure for each other. Number two, early wins build credibility. It's getting towards the end of the day. Entering the workforce in mining as a female and being the minority of the mining workforce, I think women are more visible and are sometimes more easily targeted for criticism. First impressions count. Always do your best and secure early wins to build your personal credibility. Organise goals with your manager in order to obtain these early wins. Number three is identify the workplace culture and adapt to it. Each workplace has a different set of unwritten rules, and the faster you can adapt, the better off you will be. Identify how the organisation really works in ways such as how results are achieved, how the company promotes and gives recognition to employees, how conflict is resolved, how meetings are conducted, and how to gain support for critical initiatives and who are the key players. Number four is perseverance does bring rewards. So the difficult mine site workplace experiences I've had have been worth persevering through to get me where I am today. It also helps to have a clear career objective and use your support network to help plan what you need to do to get there. Doing further professional development and study is extremely worthwhile. And you know, I always say being a lifelong learner pays dividends. Perseverance, hard work, and beginning with the end in mind, certainly in my experience, does pay off. And number five is surviving working away from home. Having a well-balanced work, family lifestyle can be difficult, but you need to be disciplined to maintain that balance and those boundaries. You need to set boundaries, especially where there is a great determination to succeed in this workplace. I think sexist attitudes can sometimes still be encountered in many workplaces, and mine sites are no exception. And a boys' club mentality can sometimes still exist today. The widely used workplace code of behaviour didn't exist 10 years ago when I started out, as it does now. But I think the mine site workplace cultures are definitely changing for the better. So lastly, here's your safety affirmation. The winner's edge is not in a gifted birth, a high IQ, or in talent. The winner's edge is in the attitude, not aptitude. Attitude is the criteria for success. And that's always been my belief. And that's why I say you need to kick off your heels, tap into your steel caps. It's all about having that kick-ass attitude. Okay, let's wrap it up. So with what we've gone over, looking for a job in the mines. Now, the mining industry can be tough to crack into, but it's very rewarding when you get there, like I said. So you've always got to be optimistic, but realistic. I appreciate you want to do everything you can to put yourself at the front of the queue for entry-level positions. And these positions are at the discretion of the companies and are sometimes not advertised externally. So it's important to register with an agency such as WorkPac in the first instance. And it's also very important that you only apply for positions that are suitable for your skill level. For example, applications for positions that require experienced operators will not be considered. And this is because your safety is number one priority. And so they must ensure that anyone they place on a mine site is not exposed to any risk due to inexperience. Then there's mine site requirements. Each state differs slightly in the minimum requirements for mine site employment. In general terms, the following are the usual minimum requirements. And note that this does not guarantee you will be successful in securing a mine site job. So physical fitness for the intended role, and that's as determined by a pre-employment medical. The ability to pass a drug and alcohol test. The mining industry generic inductions and or the mine site specific inductions. And so the first steps, the real key to obtaining a job in the mines is persistence. So here are some steps to familiarise yourself again. Register with WorkPac. You can do this before you have your relevant medicals. And then keep an eye on all the websites. Like I said, go in and get onto those major mining company websites and register yourself and set up your job alerts. Network. Sometimes it's not what you know, but it's definitely who you know. Stay in touch. Keep those that you know informed of your availability and your qualifications and your upskilling as you do it. And continue to develop your skills and qualifications in the complementary industries, such as construction and infrastructure projects. So when you're joining the mining and resources industry as an entry-level operator, there are a couple of questions that a lot of people ask. So one is, how long will it take to get a job in the mines? Now, that all depends entirely on you. How bad do you want a job? And how much effort are you prepared to put into getting that job? There is no definite time frame, but reward comes to those who are persistent. And another question is, what is the lifestyle like when you work in the mining industry? So the mining industry offers diverse lifestyle opportunities, and that's depending on the role and location. Residential roles will require you to live near the mine in a regional or mining community. And accommodation and transport to site is not always included with entry-level positions, so just keep that in mind. So you may be required to arrange your own transport and your own accommodation. Now, some roles are also offered on a bus-in and bus-out basis, so BIBO instead of FIFO. Buses will usually travel from the nearest urban centre to and from the mine locations, and such roles will usually also supply accommodation and meals in a camp near to the mine site. For experienced workers, certain mine sites may have an option for FIFO. Now, this is particularly prevalent in WA and, of course, across Queensland due to the remote location of most mine sites. So there is a few interstate mine sites that do also offer these positions, though. Then you've got your shift rosters, and they vary between sites. However, they will generally operate on an even time cycle with either a 4 days on, 4 days off, which I do, or 7 days on, 7 days off basis. Some sites do also have the roster cycles that require people to be away for extended periods of 2 to 3 weeks before returning home on a break. And shifts will rotate throughout a roster cycle between day and night shifts. And each shift is approximately 12 to 13 hours long with your crib break included. So here's a good question. I'm over 50 and have no experience. Is that a problem? Not at all. Pending your meeting of all medical requirements, mining companies are looking for good, reliable people who are punctual, responsible, and prepared to work. And what about the last one? There's always the question, are there jobs for women in the mines? Of course there is. many women have been placed into roles on mine sites, and it's growing. And don't forget, equal opportunity. As always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on this episode in the show notes or on my social media pages, either on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. And be sure to tune in again next week. Reach out to me and follow me on my Kick-Ass Women or Joe Sainsbury social media pages if you haven't already. And if you'd really like to reach out, send me an email at jody@kickasswomen.com.au or follow me on Facebook. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get the latest episodes sent directly to you. So that's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Keep in touch. Poscoms. Go on. Get your glow on. Become a glow getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.